Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And we're actually going to get back into the presidential election special episodes, where yours truly is going to actually talk about what you should be expecting to hear from a president that actually understands his job in faithfully executing the laws of the union and supporting the this concept of actually supporting the Constitution. Folks, we have a very unique Republican form of government where we the people, and I'm going to go down this little diatribe, and I've got a few things to kind of cover, but I want to kind of glance over this one little thing called our Republican form of government, because most people just do not understand that in a Republican form of government, specifically our Republican form of government, we the people have the responsibility to enforce the Constitution. And when you want to know why we're living in a government like it is today, in such a land of the free, how did this even happen? Well, if you really want to look and find out who the real culprits are, it's just a few steps away by walking into the bathroom and taking a look in the mirror. We the people have the responsibility. If you are doing nothing to hold your public servants accountable, then the blood is on your hands, not theirs. It is within the nature of people to try to do things that are, you know, outside their boundaries, to exert more authority than they actually have. I mean, the aggrandizing of power and authority is the common problem. There's not a person that receives some form of authority that doesn't instantly start to actually act beyond the domain or beyond the authority that they possess. So to be clear, we have a system where we're supposed to execute the laws and we're supposed to hold them accountable. The law actually has them take a legal oath. They're legally bound. The problem is many of your states, that the state you are living in, go look at your state constitution. Does the state constitution hold people accountable to their oaths? If you want to look at a couple of constitutions that do, look at South Dakota, look at Wyoming. I think even Missouri does. And it's amazing to me how crappy some constitutions are, where they just don't hold their people accountable. And so you need to change that. You need to make it so that as your government understands what your expectations are. And so this all came from somebody saying, hey, you know, the Constitution doesn't matter anymore. And that right there is the problem. Even though I know the person that stated that really does care about the Constitution, but what they have basically done is they've indicted we the people. They think, and in a way, I think that they were really pointing towards our public servants and our government, that it doesn't matter to them. No, the only reason it doesn't matter to them is because it doesn't matter to us. If we hold them accountable and we demand accountability and compliance, then it's going to start mattering because they won't get into office unless they do. And we actually this is a movement. This is the movement. This is the power of the people, not in getting what the people want in a democracy, but holding them to the rule of law. If we don't hold them to the rule of law, which is why I see and I blame the Republicans and the Democrats equally, as because they're the ones that want to legislate themselves in any direction that they want and basically have released themselves from the confines of the Constitution. Why? Because you allowed them to be released. You're allowing them to say, oh, well, you know what? We need to legislate this. We need to do this. We need to do that. And to be clear, the blood is on your hands and our hands. And the only way to change that is for you to get up out of your easy chair, for us to actually start holding them accountable. And the process is very clear, folks. It's right in the Constitution. It's not to go bitch and moan and groan at some public meeting. It is to use a First Amendment petition for the redress of grievances. This is a legal process that they're obligated to respond. And if they fail to respond, that means that they're failing to fulfill their oath. You know, I'm telling you, folks, I don't believe that there's a lot of people in America that would allow their public servants to flagrantly thumb their nose at you and say, I don't have to do what you want. I can do whatever I want. While they're in office, are you kidding me? And I'm telling you, This is a common principle among Americans. And one of the big reasons why they want a flooding of non-Americans among us, because they don't understand the rule of law. They don't understand, and they do understand the voice of the people in a democracy. And that's why they're trying to overrun us from our school system, as well as the illegals coming here, the invaders, to get to basically push our Republican form of government out the window and to replace it with this democratic socialism is what they're going to refer to it, but it is global communism. And it's that simple. So there's a few things I do need to get into. And first off, I need to make an apology. You know, you hear me say this every once in a while, that I love being right. And so I put some numbers into a spreadsheet when I pulled in Doug Burgum's campaign contributions of 2016. And I basically pointed out that his campaign pulled in $2 billion. And that's not true. His campaign actually pulled in $2 million. And the problem was that when I cut and pasted off of the website into the spreadsheet, I didn't even really look and examine the formatting and everything else. And so bottom line, folks, he did pull in only $2 million to pull this off. And here's the real interesting thing. When you look at the magnitude of contributions, and off the top of my head, I don't remember specifically, but I do believe, and I got to go back to the actual data on the website, because I could have swore that both Bill Gates actually contributed twice, once as William Gates and then William Gates III. And then I believe there were contributions from Microsoft, almost equating to $500,000. Now, remember, we talk about a Republican form of government. So we have a right to obtain representation, but people that do not, do you have a right to obtain representation in China? Do we have a right to obtain and be involved in, you know, the representation in France or any other nation? Well, when we look at our states are independent nations. They're independent sovereign states. So if you don't live within that state, where do you get off thinking that you can contribute? And the problem is, where do we get off not holding people accountable and not actually enforcing the law of a Republican form of government by saying no one outside this state can contribute to any race, any state race? No one outside this county can contribute to, you know, any of the races within this county, significant to this county. If it's a state race, then everybody in the state can contribute it. But if it's a county issue, then only people within the county, within the sphere of the election. If it's a city issue, then only those people in the city should have representation and say. And the fact is, they know that they can throw their money because we're allowing it to happen. And people complain about finance reform, but nobody wants to do anything about it. But bottom line, you take back your elections and make all elections local and keep all of these foreigners, whether they're from another state or from another country, it doesn't matter, from another county. If they're not from within the area of election, they are a foreigner and they are unduly influencing, or they're illegally influencing based on the concept of a Republican form of government. If they have no right to representation, if they have no right to actually have any say over who is going to represent them in that county because they don't live there, then they should not be able to contribute or even influence. This is where, and people say, hey, GR, you know, doesn't that affect you? No. We all have a right to demand and actually point to and say, hey, who's the most constitutional? And when I look at these races, whether it's a governor race, a county race, it doesn't matter. I look at the Constitution. How do they test? I demand that they take a test. Whoever tests the best is who I would recommend. I mean, that's what logic would recommend. You're hurting yourself if you continually allow scoundrels who do not care about the Constitution and do not understand. I mean, Obama probably could have passed a test on the Constitution. Probably could have. I mean, his understanding is so whacked out that you know, he probably still would have been able to pass a test. And then when you actually have them as answer questions that they have to answer properly, and then they do something differently, now you can actually go right back and get in their grill and say, hey, hold on here. You're supposed to support the Constitution. We tested you, and you answered this question correctly, that this type of thing is unconstitutional, and now you're doing it? So you realize you've basically indicted yourself of doing something that you had no authority to do. So folks, this is why it's so important. And the fact is, let's look at who really paid for, because if I'm correct, it's about $400,000. Shoot, that's 20%. Bill Gates and outside forces of people outside of North Dakota's boundaries, there was one fifth of the influence, if I'm correct. This is off the top of my head. Go do the due diligence yourself. Start looking at these things and saying, you know what? Look at the percentage of money that's flowing in outside the area of the election and say, this is just wrong. These people are getting support and actually getting wind in their sails from people trying to undermine who represents us. You get what you pay for, folks. And oh, by the way, Doug Burgum, there's articles right now that he's paying people $20 for every dollar that they contribute for his campaign. Don't tell me that, you know, corruption is not just gone sideways in America. Anyway, the one other thing that I really want to get into before I actually get into this is, and it's the word lament. You know, I don't, you know, I complain a little bit and so forth, but I don't really lament. And I reached a point today where, you know, I don't want to say it was burning, but I just had this glowing in my chest. It wasn't a good feeling. It was one of those most humbling feelings a person can get when you realize, you know, that you can only do so much. And the word lament, by definition, is to express grief for or about or mourn for something, to regret deeply and to deplore, to grieve audibly, to wail. So when Jefferson used the words lament, we can only lament regarding the other states' insinuations when he called upon the other states to do their job. That was a pretty profound expression. And today I actually had these feelings that really overcame me when I, you know, heard this statement by this person who's a patriot, considers themselves a staunch patriot, and this patriot's from Wyoming. And I've, over the past three, four months, since March, I have reached out to many of the different leaders in Wyoming And there are a few people that are still engaged in trying to do what they can. But to see all of the leaders and to see over the course of the past 3-4 months, to see that they've had rallies, to see that they've had these protests, or they've done this, they've done that, and not one of them has been willing to actually do what they're supposed to do. And so, unfortunately, I might have bruised some feelings. I might have actually said some things that might have hurt because I was lamenting. You know, folks, don't complain. Don't complain about your government, especially if you are not holding them accountable. But hey, you know, the one thing everybody should be happy about is you still have your guns. One thing everybody should be happy about is you still have some appearance of liberties, right? I mean, it seems like we can drive around free as we allow them to be encroaching upon our lives. You know, this concept of the Fourth Amendment is so, so lost in America. What does it mean to be secure in your person? When you buy a car, and you buy that car to do very specific things, but to realize that the new cars you buy today, government can seize control of it and actually take you out. In other words, shut you down so that they can capture you. Do you feel like that is living under this umbrella of being secure in your persons? No. And as a matter of fact, the way the government has usurped and has crept into so many facets of our life, that it is just, folks, when I say appearances of liberty, that's exactly what it is. It is not liberty. We do not have, and we are not the masters anymore. We are the subjects. And we're not subjects because the 14th Amendment made us subjects. We're subjects because we are not holding our public servants and our government accountable to the rule of law and to the Constitution. It's that simple. I can't put it any plainer. And you're not hearing this from anybody else. And this is the other thing that infuriates me. You know, it's not the money that these people are making. It's the credence that you, the people, are giving them. You know, make these people actually do what they need to do. This is why I will say this, and I'll say this to be really clear, because I want to get this, and there's another thing I need to get into regarding the earth is for the living concept. I bet my life that Glenn Beck, and I'll do this with every single public servant out there, I bet my life Tucker Carlson will not get on board with this process of Republic review, First Amendment petitions, and demanding full compliance of the Constitution. I bet my life, and I leave it to the persons that I'm betting my life, calling them out. Let them execute me. I willingly go. I bet my life they're not man enough. They don't care because they have decided to serve mammon. They're doing this all for money. And they know that if they solve the problem, what are they to do? They haven't finished building their empire yet. It's all about for them, it is about acquiring wealth. And I am telling you, folks, that they will have a very hard time taking that to heaven. Because we already know, when the rich man came to Christ, right? When the rich man came to Christ, can I be saved? What does it take to get to heaven? Now, I'm going to let you basically cogitate on that. And next time you can call Mark Levin and say, hey, G.R. Mobley is betting his life. You will not get involved in the actual solutions that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison prescribed. And actually, they actually just didn't prescribe it. They acted it out. They not only acted it out when they couldn't get anybody else to do anything, they actually did the unspeakable. They committed a coup, a political coup against the government. But they didn't do it with arms. They did it with the ideology of liberty. And they unseated a sitting president in the 1800 election and started cleaning house. And they were so effective in doing this. But by the time Monroe became reelected as president, not one vote from an opposing party came. That the Republican Party unanimously, not one opposing vote. There was one vote that wasn't thrown, so it wasn't fully unanimous. Not all votes went to him, but one was withheld. But I'm just telling you that was the power of an ideological movement when people actually stood up for liberty. Now, we have our problems here, but all's we need is you, the silent majority, to take a stand. And when I say silent majority, when you look out at the majority of the counties in America, these red counties in America, they're red because you've tied your hands in blood with this thing called the Republican Party. Turn these red counties into parchment, folks. Stop living and allowing the party to dictate, oh, we're going to legislate this. I'm actually hearing this crap in this campaign race for the Washington State Republican Party chair, the state chair, and this one legislator saying, we're going to introduce legislation. I'm going to lead on legislation. We're going to actually have some real legislation. What? That right there is an indictment. That right there proves that this man believes in political theatrics instead of demanding full support and compliance. This man has blood on his hands, and I know many people in Washington State who claim to be conservative constitutionalists are supporting him. Bottom line, they just have problems with the challenger. But I'm here to tell you that if a challenger stands and a challenger says, I will bet my life, I will do everything regarding the compliance to the Constitution, we will become a constitutional party. Do that, and you now have a movement. Because that's exactly what Martin Luther did in reforming the Christian faith. We're going to live and bring the gospel towards the word of God instead of actually violating or going against that. Now, the one thing I need to get into that I really want to impress upon you is this concept that the earth is for the living. Why did Jefferson say that? When we really look at, what's going on today with the whole elite society buying up the world, well, most people say, well, you know, property rights. I mean, anybody can buy property. This is because we do not protect property because we really believe that people can buy and control and keep. And this is exactly what Jefferson was speaking out against. This concept of being able to actually have a hereditary or this lifelong deed and control of property. Now, we need to really start having an honest conversation because I do believe that family farms are essential and passing those things down, that's all essential. But when we actually allow people to buy land and make it barren and not provide for us who are living, then that right there is warfare. And this is how we can actually see this manifested. Through the elitist buying land and basically making it barren, non-productive, so that we have nothing. Don't tell me these people, they have our interests. Don't tell me property rights is a good thing when we can actually have, when they actually have the ability to take from us. So this is why I'm telling you, we have to have these state legislatures need to get their heads out of their butts, and they need to basically say, this is economic warfare. You cannot do that. That land is earmarked. That is good agricultural land, and we will allow it to be used, and we will lease it. And they need to usurp this power and authority. because bottom line, they are sovereign states and they can make the laws that they need. Those things that are not delegated to the federal government, such as how a state manages its land and property rights, then I'm here to tell you folks, the federal government can't meddle in it. And so people don't understand really what we have, and this is why we have to have these honest conversations. When we come back, I'm going to get back into what you should expect from a president under the Constitution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so for the last half of this show, we'll actually get into what the show is really about. And I apologize because I had to, one, make the correction. And plus, there are a few things that I think we need to start thinking about. And this is why I'm really, these Freedom Caucuses, these guys that are hiding behind this political theatrics called Freedom Caucus, we're going to do our own style of legislation that everybody's going to be impressed with. You want to impress me? Start enforcing the law and get rid of all of the laws that are the color of law. Get rid of anything and everything that you don't have the power to operate, to possess, to exercise, period. Because the states are exercising all sorts of power they have no authority to do. They have no authority to regulate our environment. Show me one state constitution where a governor can dictate what type of car and the energy that car uses. Show me where that has been granted to your state. We know it's not even granted to the federal government. How did we get into this state, folks? How are we in this situation? Because we have a federal government that is exercising and doing all sorts of things that it has no authority to do. So bottom line, the president actually has the ability to shut down all of these things that they're doing. He can't amend the Constitution. He can't clarify. He can't correct these things, but he doesn't have to execute them. He can basically say this is unconstitutional, and he can shut down the Department of Education. Ron DeSantis apparently has been listening to me, or at least, because I know, because we have a red state host broadcaster in Florida. So bottom line, there's no doubt people are starting to hear this. And so Ron DeSantis, America would love this. But the problem is, even though he can actually do that, he can shut these things down. All he's going to do is, because he doesn't have the authority to constrain Congress from never doing it again, or the next president from usurping these powers. The only way this can be done, if Ron DeSantis really wants to lead, show me that you're not a tyrant. Because this is what a tyrant would really do, unless you shut it down and you go to the states and beat on their chest and tell these governors like yourself, Ron DeSantis, as the governor of Florida, we have to tell the federal government they have no authority to do this and never to do it again. That is how you close the door on usurpations. We don't have to allow our liberties to flow, ebb and flow in the tides of politics. We don't have to allow our liberties to be tossed to and fro by the winds of politics. We can actually enforce and still those winds, still those tides, and maintain a constant level of water, maintain a constant flow of air that serves us, because we can demand that the federal government comply and no longer exercise powers not granted. Okay, so the focus right now in this whole diatribe, in this long dissertation, professorial presentation that has been spanning several episodes now, and I'm looking at all the other stuff I still have to go through. There's a lot of stuff. I can't do this in one show. And so I'm hoping that I'm breaking this down enough and going over it in, you know, in a redundancy that you go, okay, I get it. I get it. Bottom line, as president, he or I must advise and inform states on the necessity to amend Article 1, Section 10, the Compact or Contract Clause, that they will need to seriously not allow the nation or the union the ability to centralize any of these powers regarding domestics. In other words, not allow the union matters. I mean, you know, the national matters of education, the national matters of strategies, of energies, and these types of things to be fully centralized under the federal government. That the states must consider separating those essential centralized matters, the domestic matters that mean everything, the strategies of how we are to move forward, what energies are we going to use, what is our focus to get away from. You know, folks, if we got away from fossil fuels, we would have, you know, it would reduce our pollution to nothing, and we can do this. But we actually have to think out of the box. We actually have to think not in renewable energies as everybody's been teaching you, because that's how they make money. Everybody knows this is a scam. This wind crap, this solar crap, even these paddles in the ocean, that's all crap. There are ways to do this, and leaders have ways to prove that. I could prove this, but I'm not running a campaign. I am actually working with people in government behind the scenes, but this has to all be done with non-disclosures, because there's no way, because if this gets out, that we could actually change the way America operates and actually have this kind of an effect on the world. Don't tell me energy isn't a driving force of wealth. Go look at what's happening in the Middle East and tell me where all that wealth is coming from. It's all over energy. You know, how much of your disposable income is being spent on that? How would it be if all of a sudden you as an American didn't have to spend hardly anything on energy? It was just available. Anyway. What we have to actually do is we actually have to really start taking over. The states have to take over what are the true strategies that will serve this republic, such as education and infrastructure, just to name a few. Okay, so they have to amend Article 1, Section 10 to allow the states to form new polities. This was a concept that I believe that the framers were not ready for yet. It's already hard enough for most people to fathom three separate governments, from a federal, state, and county government. Now to actually create an intermixed and independent polity that actually is the polity that establishes the strategies of energy, the strategies of education, and not this, you know, this self-serving ice cream cone to basically, you know, pit corporations and government against the people, where they actually can fleece the people for everything that they've got. That's not serving society. So What we need to do, and by doing this, by making this amendment, this allows a true Republican form of government to be able to make autonomous, focused polities concerning these very specific matters in a strategic nature that are not delegated in the U.S. Constitution to the federal government. Therefore, it gives the states the ability to create and establish their own separate polities with the authority to do this with a higher threshold than 3/4 is necessary in these things. So what I'm just throwing in here is I'm going sideways into this. When you create this polity, and this polity has the ability of establishing a policy for energy. Right now, the standard for making these types of establishments for the Constitution is 3/4. In other words, if you get 3/4 of the states to agree, then boom, it becomes law. Well, I think we need to actually have a higher threshold. So with a higher threshold than 3/4, and my recommendation is probably something more like 80%. Because if you've got 80 to 90% somewhere in there, that means it's not unanimous, but it makes it very, very hard. I mean, there has to be a real consensus, and everybody has to really agree that this is the one solution. And when you separate that by the sovereignties and the representation of these 50 distinctive or 100 distinctively different interested parties, these independent and sovereign states that think and have different needs, now you actually have what we would call the ability to truly come up with real solutions and policies. We do not want a democracy that can just toss us to and fro. Now, bottom line, and I haven't said this in a long time, but as the president regarding financial matters, the Fed now will be shut down as a clear violation if I become the president, or if a constitutional president steps into office in 2025, shutting down FedNow would be a concurrent, immediate action, period. I mean, there would be all sorts of things that would happen on day one, and shutting FedNow down would be, forgive me for getting tongue-tied, that would be one of the very first things as well. Advise and warn. In other words, the president would have a responsibility in concurrent to all of these other things to advise and warn all citizens, expatriates abroad, that they either return to the United States or accept the risks and become subjects to these other nations that they are operating in. All of these U.S. businesses have no constitutional authority to operate abroad and still conduct business, bringing it back to the United States and so forth. The federal government cannot allow that to happen. That is not within the Constitution. Bottom line, everybody better start really thinking seriously, and they need to actually consider moving quickly. Haste is essential. And I say this because, folks, when the whole world actually starts hearing this coming out, when the whole world understands that America is not going to be subsidizing their policies and plans and this globalist direction anymore, they are going to actually start positioning themselves to be very hostile towards us immediately abroad, and possibly even look at trying to get, you know, obtain warfare. Execute some forms of warfare, you know, because bottom line, guess what? When America stops exercising the warfare against its own people, then the world will notice and say, well, if America's not going to do it, then we'll have to do it. Because that's the jealousy they have over the land of liberty. Washington warned us of this. And so the sad thing is our own government has been getting away with warfare tactics for decades. And you can't tell me otherwise. You cannot prove me wrong. So advise and warn all with current and seeking future foreign investments of our resources that they have no constitutional claims to any U.S. resource, and that the U.S. government will work with the states in where they will receive these resources as the conservators. In other words, your state, this land, these businesses, your state is going to obtain these things and then restore them to their proper ownership or state use. Let's say it's land. Let's say, you know, all of these pig farms and so forth, all those types of resources. Does the state want to actually own that? Do they want to operate that? Do they have the power to operate that? Folks, I don't think you necessarily want to give that, your state, the authority, but I do believe you need to give your state the authority to have the ability to establish strategic needs. In other words, you're just fooling yourself if you don't think you have needs in your family, strategic needs in your family, to have food in your cupboard, to have, you know, a stockpile of energy, you know, for when government can't provide. So bottom line, you need to allow your state to have the power of identifying these strategies and then make recommendations and even get to a point where you can actually have this symbiotic relationship with your state so that they can function in those things to actually acquire the necessary foods and energies to supply you and everyone in the state. This is not the federal government's job. The whole concept of what they're doing is not their job. There are no laws in pursuance to our Constitution that can grant foreign ownership of any resource, and that they must petition the general government to become a state in the Union if they feel they have interests in liberty. That is it. They can't buy, you know, they can't buy us and control us. If they really want liberty, then they can petition to become a state, and then they will have to subjugate themselves to the Constitution as well as to their citizens, who are to be guaranteed these inalienable rights and liberties which the Constitution protects. So the sellers and those involved in the selling of these resources must be brought to justice as well. We need to restore our metal currency as a nonprofit institution, revitalizing and purifying copper and nickel and platinum and palladium to the coinage system. We need to warn and advise all the federal government has no authority or business in providing financial assurance or insurance, that individuals, entities, and local governments must assume the full risk of their investments. If you put all that money in the bank, you better have faith in that bank and the people operating it. And you better have some accountability in your state in holding that, because the federal government can't do that. This is why you need to start working, instead of using these global banks, you need to start establishing really strong state banks, state markets, because this is where the controls are limited. The federal government doesn't have these controls to, you know, control these markets. And the reason that they have these controls is this is how they're getting rich, because they're manipulating, they're printing money, giving it to the banks, and the banks are giving and being directed to give loans to those people who are going to benefit. And who's paying for all of this? You are. We are. The general government of the United States does not have the authority to control the economy of the sovereign states. Ergo, their involvement in managing the U.S. economy over the past century has proven to be one that evolved into a destructive one of both liberty and our Constitution. So our constitutional president must then warn and advise that the Federal Reserve will be suspended and the printing of paper and digital money will cease immediately. Quantitative easing will terminate, and all banks and institutions who receive these funds will return or purge these funds or over a prescribed table of time. And to make sure that all who benefited from this fiasco will be basically those profits, those gains will be recouped, because it was all done as a basically a racket. It was basically a scheme. The bailout and federal grants and loans will cease. We're not here to subsidize. The federal government is not in business of being an insurance company. The president needs to warn and advise all foreign investors that all the United States debt agreements will be audited for constitutional standing, that those U.S. citizens who committed fraud, but more importantly, those public servants and those in public trust and profit, which means the businesses, because folks, you got to understand this. Your business, a business, a corporation just doesn't, you know, create itself, you know, and operate. They have to go and appeal to your state to operate and function. When you actually stand up and create a business, you actually have to, you know, register and say, I'm going to be doing this. And you have to fall under, and you actually have to supply, or actually you have to operate, one, within the Constitution and supply these rules of governance and the transparencies and supply the, you know, your fiscal reports, all of these types of things, so that the state can make sure that you are not, you know, pulling off some shenanigans. Bottom line, these bankers, these insurance companies, all of these companies that have been working at these real high levels that have had direct access to federal funds, with the quantitative easing, all of that, all of these places, when they did quantitative easing and they printed $1 trillion and threw it down these very specific channels, those channels were private channels. That wasn't going to your state. That was going to a private institution. Show me in the Constitution where the federal government has the authority to do that. They don't. This has been the fleecing of America, and it's been going on with the Federal Reserve for well over 100 years. And you know what? We have all of the records. We have the ability to hold them account, and we have the ability to basically say, you, over the course of all of this time, have received all of this fraudulent money, and we're holding you accountable. And seize their assets, seize their resources. You know, the whole world is going to buckle on this. Not when I say the world, not we the people, the world, those who are controlling it. And the way we keep the whole world from actually shifting is this is how we can basically say, and we need to start apologizing to Taiwan, Crimea, and all of these other places. And basically, this is a part of a concurrent policy to make an appeal, a plea to the world to actually shift. Now, here's the question. This is something that America can do that would actually cut the chains and basically destroy the cabal. Now, you know as well as I do that because information is fully controlled by this government globalist, I'll just say cabal, that because it is just this good boy network, actually the evil boy network, right? It's not a good old boy network. It's an evil old boy network, and they're having full control. So, you know, whatever we do here in America, what we actually decide to do, the truth will not get out. So the president is actually going to have to make these pitches. And the question is, will the president actually have, you know, a true translation in Cantonese or in, you know, Tagalog or in Farsi? Will the people actually hear the real words that our president is basically appealing and say, if you want to have an election to determine whether you are a free people or you want to continue being ruled by the Chinese Communist Party, by the Russian Politburo, by, you know, whatever the country and the tyrant that's ruling you today, become a territory and become a part of this. And those nations, those people that really want liberty, I'm telling you what, Taiwan, the people of Taiwan would be on this. The people of China would be on this. You think the people of China enjoy the fact that they live in such a tyrannical state? No body of people really think this is good. They may accept it because every time they've tried, do you remember Tiananmen Square? Every time that they've actually tried to take a stand, the world has turned their backs on them. Well, it's about time we stop doing that. And we have to give them assurance that we're not doing that anymore. That we are standing and basically proclaiming liberty to all the inhabitants of the world. Now, again, the cabal, you know, the messaging system will not actually resonate. It probably won't get out there, or there'll be this massive misinformation. But I am telling you, this right here would completely thwart, it would completely disrupt the evil plan of controlling all people. America, we have the opportunity, and I know we can actually do this. We can actually cut our ties, and we may actually, and I will just say this, that the Bible doesn't talk about the end of days actually, you know, the whole world coming to war against the United States. It's actually reversed. The whole world is supposed to go to war against this little teeny country called Israel. So what happens in America may be left to our own, we may be left to our own decisions and our own demise. But bottom line, the U.S. citizens who have committed the fraud against the American people. And when I say citizens, I'm talking about the public servants, those who are in public office of trust and or profit. The businessmen, the bankers, the insurance, all of these people will be brought to justice. And the debt paid to foreign entities will be stopped, because this has been another, basically it's been a Ponzi scheme. And all payments that were unconstitutionally made will be leveraged against each nation until they become states in the Union. This is exactly what they did in Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. They basically said, we're not accountable for this debt. But if you want to become a state in this Union, because technically, how many nations are actually in debt to the world, to the United States? Everybody. Because supposedly we have all of this debt. No, we don't have all of this debt. And actually, we actually have equal debt with them. They actually do owe us. We don't owe them. They've been trying to supply these fiascos, or I should say these rascals, who have assumed powers they had no authority to assume. Every public servant, every bureaucrat who was involved in allowing foreign ownership, whether it be of debt or of property or of resource of any state, any U.S. resource, will be brought to justice. Like some of America's ports, the Panama Canal, the internet, just to name a few. So folks, I want you to understand the high ground where we actually stand, because the law dictates that they can't do it. So those who did it were doing it as a fraudulent scheme. And the law is on our side. And all, I mean, this is a standard of law. You have to have a law of perversion. I mean, the law of Europe, the laws of nations have always had these types of standards. And the people will actually recognize this. It is going to be the globalist, this, you know, these special people that, you know, the Bilderbergers, all of these different groups out there that, you know, are the elitists that are basically, they're amassing the wealth from us and the world. And they've been getting away with it. And when all of a sudden they realize that it's not coming from us anymore and we're coming after them, well, then all of a sudden we will start realizing that, you know, the people will listen to us instead of them. But the bottom line is, because they have the control, it will take a while. And we actually see that the forecast is that they'll end up going to war against Israel. Folks, there's reason for all of this, but more importantly, we'll get back to this next Monday. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.